You might think that VPNs are only for the tech-savvy, but the reality is that using the internet without it is like writing an important report and forgetting to save. You might be fine, but what if your computer crashes and all your hard work is gone? I always use ExpressVPN because whenever you connect to a public Wi-Fi like that of a cafe or airport, you are exposed to hackers using that network. And you're more vulnerable than you think. Anyone with cheap hardware could gain access to your financial data and passwords and sell it on the dark web. A VPN creates a layer of security that not even a hacker with a supercomputer can get past. I can't surf the internet without my ExpressVPN, and I can't stress to you how much I recommend it for your online safety. It works on all devices, and it's so easy to use. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/beamazed. That's expressvpn.com/beamazed, and you can get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/beamazed.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When Indian-born journalist and historian Shirabi Basu was touring an exhibition at Queen Victoria's summer home, the Isle of Wight's Osborne House, back in 2003, something unusual caught her eye. Among the many portraits hanging on the walls in the house's Indian wing were several paintings and busts of a fine young Indian man. Basu recalls stopping to look at a particularly intriguing painting that showed the man holding a book and glancing sideways with an air of gentleness about him. The way he was depicted made him seem like more of a nobleman than a servant, as one might assume. Unable to shake the feeling and with no real leads to follow, Basu decided to do some digging of her own, and that's when she uncovered a secret that had remained unspoken for over 100 years.
You're listening to
Be Amazed. Queen Victoria, Britain's second longest reigning monarch, has been decorated with something of a bad reputation throughout history. She's often depicted as a dowdy, miserable woman, mostly because she wore a lot of black, who spent the majority of her life mourning the death of her late husband, Albert. But there were many other sides to Victoria that have been hidden from the public, and they probably would have remained that way if it weren't for Shirabi Basu's inquisitive eye. Although Victoria famously mourned her husband's passing in 1861 for the next 40 years, speculation over whether she shared an intimate relationship with one of her servants, a certain Mr. John Brown, has run rampant. John Brown was a Scottish personal attendant to the Queen for many years who had formerly been the personal shooting guide, or ghillie, to Prince Albert. Victoria admired him for his competence and companionship, and the pair formed such a strong bond that rumors of an affair spread through the royal court like wildfire, even earning poor Vic a nickname that her staffers used behind her back, Mrs. Brown. So when John Brown died in 1883, aged 56, leaving the Queen with yet another great void in her life, her family expected her to fill it with someone else significant, but no one could have imagined quite who would step forward to fill his shoes. Victoria had been given the title of Empress of India in 1876 by Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli. She welcomed the title with pride and always longed to travel to India, but the sea journey was too far to take. Nevertheless, she expressed an interest in the foreign land, and in 1888 she became particularly fascinated by Indian culture after a jail superintendent named John Tyler escorted 34 Indian inmates to the Colonial and Indian Exhibition of 1886 in London. Victoria was overjoyed as she watched the inmates showing off the carpets they had woven as part of their rehabilitation program. In fact, the Queen was so impressed that she then asked Tyler about selecting two Indian attendants to assist her as she celebrated 50 years on the throne at her upcoming Golden Jubilee. Their job would be to facilitate communication with Indian dignitaries and to wait on the Queen, but little did either party know that this was about to be the start of something much, much bigger. As part of the Golden Jubilee festivities held on the 20th of June, 1887, the Queen hosted dozens of foreign rulers at a lavish banquet. John Tyler followed through on his promise and had two attendants sent over to help Victoria address the Indian princes at the table. The men he selected were Mohammed Bakshi, an experienced servant who ran the household of a British general, and Mohammed Abdul Karim. Unlike Bakshi, Karim knew nothing about what it takes to be a servant. In fact, he was merely a prison orderly known to John Tyler. But he had been called upon to serve the Queen of England, and he could hardly refuse. Kareem was born near the city of Jhansi, and was the second oldest child of six. His father, Haji Waziruddin, was a hospital assistant, a skilled position which allowed him to have Kareem privately educated by a tutor in both Persian and Urdu. Kareem had scored a job at the jail in Agra, where the brothers of his soon-to-be wife worked, but before he knew it, he was given a brand new wardrobe, a crash course in English, and general palace etiquette, and sent halfway across the world to Windsor Castle, expecting nothing more than to wait a few tables. The Queen was instantly fascinated by Kareem, and would describe him in her private letters as tall, handsome, and gentle. She was particularly impressed with his poise and at how he never seemed at all petty or irritable, while she was also charmed by his unwavering dedication to his faith. After their jubilee duties concluded, Kareem and Bakshi traveled with the Queen to her summer home on the Isle of Wight that August. It was there that Kareem really caught Victoria's attention when he surprised her with a traditional chicken curry with dal and palau, using spices he'd brought over from Agra. When she tasted the meal, the Queen announced that the dish was excellent and had it added to her regular menu rotation. After Kareem had praised the mango as the Queen of Fruits, further whetting Victoria's appetite for Indian food, she also ordered that one be sent to London for a royal tasting. But as the story goes, when the fruit was finally presented to her by a footman bearing an ornate box, it was rotten. Which is hardly surprising, considering it had traveled 6 weeks by boat to reach her. Because she never actually visited India, poor Victoria probably never got to taste mango. So she probably had to settle for chutney instead. Almost as soon as Kareem arrived in England, the Queen had also bought a Hindustani phrasebook and started trying to teach herself his language. Eager to immerse herself further in the Indian culture, Victoria then asked Kareem to start giving her daily Urdu lessons, to which he accepted gladly. She wrote in her diary, "It is a great interest to me. For both the language and the people, I have naturally never come into real contact with before." Kareem taught her about the Quran and the fundamentals of Indian culture, and within 2 months, Victoria had stopped sending him instructions through her staff and started writing him directly. As the Queen's interest turned into a genuine zeal, it seemed a beautiful friendship was suddenly blooming. Aw, doesn't that just warm your cockles? Still, I can't stop thinking about poor Victoria and her quest to taste the exotic sweetness of a mango. Victoria was happier than she had been in years, but the same couldn't be said for Kareem. In India, he was a prison clerk surrounded by people who spoke his language, but most importantly, he was treated as an equal. Palace life in England was a totally different story. In his own private diary, Kareem described himself as a sojourner in a strange land and among strange people. At the same time, he was growing weary of carrying out such menial tasks and longed for something more. The Queen wasn't oblivious to his unhappiness either. In a letter to a friend, she wrote that she knew he was anxious to return to India, adding that, "I particularly wish to retain his services." To keep him from leaving, Victoria decided to appoint Kareem the new title of Munshi, meaning teacher, and elevated him to the level of a noble. The Queen was relieved when Kareem agreed to stay, and their bond grew even stronger. Some would say the former servant was now closer to Victoria than her own children ever had been. Although there's no evidence to suggest that their relationship was anything more than an unlikely friendship, the amount of time they spent together was bound to turn heads. This was especially true when the pair spent the night together at Glasalt Shiel, a remote cottage in Scotland that the Queen had previously shared with John Brown and had vowed never to return to again after his death. It seemed like in almost no time, Abdul Kareem had gone from a woefully unprepared young Indian servant to the Queen's closest friend and confidant. And while the two lovebirds, best pals, lived in blissful harmony, jealousy spread thick and fast through the royal household.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Kareem traveled with Victoria through Europe and was given the best seats at banquets and operas, a private carriage, and even had several portraits of himself commissioned by the Queen herself. At Balmoral Castle, the Queen's Scottish estate, Kareem was allocated the room previously occupied by John Brown. The rest of the Queen's inner circle resented Kareem not only for the gifts he was given, but for the niceties his family were awarded on Victoria's behalf. Upon Kareem's request, Victoria provided his father with a higher pension, arranged a generous promotion for Kareem's previous employer, John Tyler, and allowed his wife to be brought to England, where the couple were given a homely cottage. According to Shrabani Basu, Kareem's father even got away with being the first person to smoke a hookah in Windsor Castle, despite the Queen's known aversion to smoking. Unlike John Brown, whose loyalty was not questioned, Kareem's behavior encouraged many to think he was simply exploiting his new position for personal gain and prestige. Victoria wasn't blind to the kind of negative attention their friendship was attracting, but she was far too besotted by Kareem to care. The Queen now spent most of her afternoons in Kareem's room. She even fluffed up his pillows and examined boils on his back. The royal court were not best pleased. They didn't see it fit for the Queen of England to be treating a former Indian servant as an equal, let alone seating him at tables full of his superiors. And they weren't afraid to say it either. Victoria's son Arthur complained that having an Indian stand beside him made for a very conspicuous figure among the gentry, and claimed it was undignified to treat an Indian man of common birth like royalty. In a letter which begged a fellow secretary to unearth some dirt on Kareem that might remove him from his station, the Queen's assistant private secretary, Fritz Ponsonby, wrote, "If it were not for our protest, I don't know where she would stop." Ponsonby then added, "But it is no use, for the Queen says that it is race prejudice and that we are jealous of the poor Munshee." You think, buddy? Perhaps Kareem's most openly scathing review came from Lady-in-Waiting Mary Mallet, who rued, "Why the plague did not carry him off, I cannot think. It might have done one good deed. Jeez, ever consider therapy, Mary?" Meanwhile, Victoria's personal doctor, Sir James Reed, went as far as to write Kareem directly to tell him, "You are from a very low class and can never be a gentleman." For good measure, he added the following threat: "If the Queen were to die and any letters of hers were found in your possession, no mercy will be shown to you." It seems like Reed had never heard of the phrase, "be careful what you wish for," because things were about to take a turn for the worst. 81-year-old Queen Victoria breathed her last breath at Osborne House on January 22, 1901, at 6:30 p.m., after 63 years and 7 months on the throne, longer than any of her predecessors. Most people could not fully comprehend the mortality of the little old lady who had sat upon the throne for so long, and her death shocked the nation. Plus, there was no one alive who could remember how to properly bury a monarch, and this queen had requested an all-out military state funeral. She hadn't forgotten about her beloved John Brown, though, and was buried wearing a ring he gave her, as well as having a photograph and a lock of his hair in a special case placed in her casket. Among her final wishes, the sovereign also made one thing very clear: Abdul Kareem was to be one of the principal mourners at her funeral. an honor usually afforded only to the monarch's closest friends and family. The queen's family complied with the request, and Kareem was given the honor of being the last person to view her body before the casket was closed. But with Victoria finally out of the picture, Kareem was left with no protection. After the funeral, Victoria's newly crowned son, King Edward VII, sent guards to the cottage Kareem shared with his wife and forced the Moonshee to gather every personal letter and picture the queen had ever sent him. Some of them had been signed "Your Closest Friend," "Your True Friend," and even "Your Loving Mother." Once he'd collected every last shred of evidence that mentioned his being in England, Kareem was made to watch as the guards burned the very last records of his friendship with Victoria. The only records that remained were those written by the court, which painted Kareem as an arrogant man who had used the queen for his own personal gain. After Edward's succession to the throne, Abdul Kareem and the rest of the Indian servants were banished from the royal court and sent back to India. Kareem had been forcibly removed from Victoria's timeline, but she had made several precautions to make sure he was well looked after in her absence. Shortly before her death, she wrote, "I have in my testamentary arrangements secured for your comfort," and boy was she right. Victoria had left Kareem a massive plot of land back in India, as well as a small fortune to live off of. In fact, the type of land grant Victoria acquired was usually reserved for war heroes, and she fought tooth and nail to secure it for him. She'd even had to change her will, though she assured Kareem no human being would ever hear of it. Kareem would live the remainder of his days in comfort with his wife, and his great fortune would eventually be inherited by his nephews when he died in Agra in 1909, aged just 46. But his legacy would be hidden from the Western world for years to come. For the next 100 years, Abdul Kareem was a name spoken only in hushed, shameful tones within the royal household. That is until Shrabani Basu spotted his portrait and set things into motion. Over the course of the next 5 years, Basu carefully unraveled this tricky tale as she pored over the queen's remaining Hindustani exercise books and personal diaries to connect the dots of the touching relationship that Victoria's own children had so carefully erased from history. Though their letters may have been incinerated, something else survived the guards' bonfire: Kareem's own personal diary. The book had stayed in the family of Abdul Rashid, the Munshi's nephew, for several generations until his descendants shared the journal with Basu over a century after the queen's death. Basu eventually released her own book, Victoria and Abdul, The True Story of the Queen's Closest Confidant, in 2010, and in 2017, the story was even adapted into the movie Victoria and Abdul, starring Judi Dench and Ali Faisal. According to Basu, the film is fairly accurate, except for that it portrays Victoria and Kareem as saints rather than as real people with real flaws. In fact, Lord Salisbury, Britain's prime minister at the time, speculated that the queen probably enjoyed the scandal her friendship with Kareem created because it was the only excitement she could get in her old age. Who can blame her? So there you have it. Turns out good old Queen Vic wasn't such a snob after all. No matter how hard they tried to blot out and rewrite his narrative, Victoria's heirs couldn't completely erase the Moonshee from history. And now at last, thanks to the hard work and dedication of Shrabani Basu, we're all able to appreciate this most unlikely and intense friendship that crossed both class and racial lines, all thanks to a delicious plate of chicken curry. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you again next time you want to be amazed.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.